This is Jason Nemro, Cohen McCormick, another broadcast. I've been talking about a lot of kind of big picture externalities. I think today, or right now, I'm going to talk about something that really touches your soul. If I sound a little rough, if I sound a little deep, it's because I am droopy and I'm feeling sick. And so I'm not going into work today, although I'm out at the crash site. So I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if I'm going to get rained on. I will be the voice of the wilderness that I have always advertised and that I typically am anyway. It's 6:50 in the morning. And I just did the grocery shopping for the week to get ready for things. And I am, I think I'm all ready, although I'm not going into work. I don't like that because, frankly, I don't have a lot of leave. And I'm having to use up leave. And that doesn't please me at all. So, anyway, things that are coming up. So many people today turn to government to help them, to save them. And I think people are starting to get the idea that the government's not a reliable thing to go to for hardly anything. We were facing a government shutdown. It wouldn't have probably affected a lot of the benefits going out, but a lot of people that work for government. And can I be honest? I'm a subcontractor, but the money comes from government, and it's a government sort of situation that I work for currently. And so my income, of course, I live in the Podunk nowhere, and it's where the government does scary stuff it doesn't really want people to know about, and the kind of programs and money that are subsidized by bigger places to make up for a lack of services in small places. And it's fine that only works up to a point. I'm trying to think if there's any time. No, I did. I actually worked for oil exploration, which was not government done. That was totally industry. I think that's been the only time I have ever worked for just a company as opposed to some quasi-governmental side gig. So I'm probably the first one to call out for saying, well, why don't you stop working for those kind of places? You go, well, can I be honest? The money's too good. I don't put my livelihood in their hands particularly. I save a lot of money. And but anyway, the most important thing to do, and I was just thinking about this, I was thinking about those signs that people used to put, you know, they used to walk around in business districts with a big sign on the front and the back of their bodies that would say something. Often it was something vaguely religious, you know. And I was just thinking of one that would be good. Don't, government can't save you. Christ can save you. Don't put your faith in Uncle Sam. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And, we're going to see a lot of, I think harder times are coming. the money that I was setting aside for these trips that have suited me well for several years. In fact, when I first did it, I actually usually had enough money left over that I could do some goofy things. I bought some technology little tidbits with the money left over that I didn't spend on my living and traveling out for work stipend. Well, now it's getting to the point to where I'm not sure it's really going to see me through the day. I don't have inexpensive places to go particularly. So in the past, I was able to not pay full price. Now that my blood sugar is getting to be a little trickier and things like that, I'm having to either eat less or just spend more on food. And of course, the gas prices have all gone up. And this is tricky for a guy that, you know, has to pay out of my pocket for my commuting. I used to have a traveling job, and I used to drive a lot with a traveling job, but I was, you know, but it was a company car. The gas that got it put into it was paid for by somebody else. If I had to stay overnight because my work stretched out into a couple of days, two or three days, that was reimbursed as well. In fact, I was reimbursed a per diem rate, a straight per diem rate, and I used to stay really, really cheaply at places like state parks that had showers, and I would stay at state parks. And it was pretty darn lucrative. At the end of the day, I can't say that I made tons of money with it, but it got us over humps, I think. And it was tax-free. And that's always kind of nice to just get money that doesn't have any tax liability tied to it. Anyway, but I don't have that situation anymore. Almost everything that I used to have to do, I used to have to go to some place to do it. Now a good portion of it could be done remotely. And I did a lot of it remotely before, but now that's probably even more so of a thing. Anyway, so things are changing. It's hard to say if things are changing for the better. I think businesses are, I don't know if they're forcing, but they're having people use their own equipment, their own stuff that back in the old days used to be an independent contractor, and they'd have to pay you quite a bit more because you would be taking care of their, you know, they would take care of their own health care and stuff like that. I actually take care of my own health care. It's not provided as part of my employment package. I bounce around too much, honestly, to make it work. Not that I'm a fan of insurance companies. I very much like the Christian Health Shares, and we use one. Which one do we use right now? Christian Health Ministry, CHM. And that was after we had done, at first we had done Samaritan, which I really liked, but they didn't like me. I wasn't Christian enough for them. No, Latter-day Saints are not considered Christian, standard Christians. Even though one of the big things was that your Christianity meant that you had a tendency to take better care of yourself. And Latter-day Saints are we have the word of wisdom, and that is a wonderful health code given by God to say, well, you guys asked me what to do, and here, let me tell you what you should do. It was mostly about tobacco. That was what instigated it, but God took it as an opportunity and said, here, let me give you a whole lot more. Anyway, I find it funny because it's like, no, you want to have Latter-day Saints in your health plan, because they don't get sick as readily as other people do that are carrying on bad health habits. But they didn't like me. So then we went on to, I forget what, Liberty Health Share, which is run by a Mennonite group. And that was pretty good, except I think it really paid out too often for too many things. It was trying to be comprehensive, and I wasn't into comprehensive, and it was costing a lot. And so I went with Christian Health Ministries, which is basically just catastrophic stuff. You don't use them for just going and doing an office visit. The other one used to give you, you know, depending on what level you were at, the share would also pay for a certain number of doctor visits a year. And I don't go see a doctor. I'm not interested in that. I'm very old-fashioned that way. I will go if I've got seeping wounds. I will go if I have a broken appendage. I will go if I, you know, if there's something going on that I think is catastrophic. Maybe. Maybe not. So Christian Health Ministry, CHM, does a much better job for a guy like me and for my family. My family's not really on the program anymore. Both of my boys are taken care of by the Veterans Administration. Although they have to drive a distance to get to it. They're young. I don't know how my other kids handle it. Matt, of course, is autistic. He's on Medicaid. And anytime he needs something, you can just go and get it, and it's basically paid for. Socialized medicine. My two girls, I don't know how they, I really don't know how they handle these things. To a large degree, I think they don't. And the really great thing about all this stuff is that you don't have to be, you know, when the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, was created, it slowly started doing penalties for not participating, not having some kind of health insurance. And the Christian health ministries were kind of an exemption. And that was why I got on them originally. But I like the concept of it is a pool of money from which people get their health needs paid for out of it. And there's provisos, you know, they don't do a whole lot for things that are really expensive. They don't really get into that. I liked it because it isn't going into the maw of a big corporation that keeps the money, does its level best to make sure that it's not going to pay you for the health care you really need or the health care that you really were hoping for. I remember back in the day I had health insurance, And I could go to a doctor's office. And for all the stuff like the labs and everything else, that was all paid for out of just a copay that I had. And back then I was a really poor little squirrel, and it was wonderful, especially when we had little kids. Of course, we were poor enough that all of our little kids were on Medicaid. And so I didn't have to worry about them. It was mostly about Lisa and I. And it's good to be able to go into the doctor's office and just pay like $20. And you would come out with a prescription. And your prescription plan was pretty cheap. It's what most people need medical care for. Go in, get the pills that you need. I was on gout, and I had gout problems. And I work gout. I have high blood pressure, but I don't take anything for that, despite my doctor's constant pushing on it. I always say, oh, I'm going to do that with diet. And for the longest time, I just didn't. I would just tell them that, just to get them not to give me a pill. I don't want to start doing pills either. Anyway, that brings up an interesting concept. You pray to Christ to help you overcome something. Now, he doesn't do it all the way. There are, you know, there is a lot of things that, you know, this life is supposed to be a test. It's not supposed to be a skate. You aren't supposed to say, well, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I pray every day. And therefore, well, I never get sick and bad things never happen. You go, oh, no. It says you will get sick and bad things will happen to you on occasion. He'll just be with you and he'll see you through it. And maybe he'll see it through you to your ultimate death. And the great part is that because of his atonement, death isn't that big of a deal. Are you going to be resurrected? Yeah. Are you going to get someplace much better than this? Yeah. Might it be a struggle for those that are left behind that might have you were supporting? Oh, yeah. That'll be the biggest thing. But that tends to turn people to Christ, too. This is all about seeing what you'll do when faced with hardship. It's not the removal of hardship. That's no good. It is what kind of person you'll become. Will you get angry and start lashing out, be punitive and nasty and hurt people? Or will you take it in stride? The whole story of Job in the Old Testament is very instructive. I think it is a story. I don't know that Job was an actual real-life person. Everything in that story really happened to him. I don't know. But it is very emblematic of what God wants to see from us. You know, when he had every time to turn on God and say, look at what you've let happen to me, he didn't blame God. He would often blame himself. But yeah, he wouldn't say anything bad about God. During all of his travails, he had a lot of travails. Lost his living, lost his family. His wife was hideous to him. His friends were constantly trying to talk him into cursing God as a release. You know, curse God and die, and then you won't have to put up with this anymore. And he didn't do it. And ultimately, God blessed him. And I think that's probably the biggest part of the point of the story, is that as we overcome, as we become better, God is so much more able to or willing to bless us. Ultimately, his status after this huge trial ultimately was better than it was before. everything that the children of Israel tended to value in life, he got, to a large degree, he got a double portion of it. And that's a wonderful thing. And do we expect the same? And you go, well, I expect that persevering through will be rewarded to me at some point, even if it's after death. Even if it's after death, the kind, like I often say, the kind of person you are translates into the kind of reward you're going to get. Oh my gosh, I'm looking down at the Rio Grande River, and it's pretty much dried up here. There's a couple of bars with some water in it. But by and large, and probably about 2 or 3 months ago, it was full. And now it's just a mud bog. Amazing. Let's see if there's anything in that. Yeah. It looks like they've taken most of the water out of the river and put it in the canal, which is, I don't know how good water management that is, but it's what they've chosen to do. And it has nothing to do with me. I'm 3 or 4 miles out of the valley, and I don't have any water there. I don't have a well. I don't have anything. I take water with me. Like right now, I've got my water jugs with me to take care of myself while I'm out. Usually, I do, there's water provided at work. And so I drink a ton of water when I'm at work. I'm kind of sloshy. I think I'm actually heavier. If I would just kind of cut down on the water that I drink, I would probably lose 20 or 30 pounds at least. People go, oh, no. And you go, you just don't understand how much water I drink. I easily drink 2 or 3 gallons a day. And I don't sweat much. So where's it all going? And you go, do you pee a lot? And you go, well, I do, but it's not gallons. My body retains a lot of it. And so I'm sloshy. Anyway, so we need to turn so much more to God for our needs and for our problems and stuff like that. Now, turning to your neighbors is a wonderful thing to do too, because those people are often the hands and the eyes and the ears of God himself. And it's a good thing to have that. That's often how these things come. It's not like manna rains down from heaven, although we do know it did once upon a time. I have to say that was more survival food. However, we'll probably take care of each other through each other in the name of God. Always do that. I always point up and go, they go, thank you, and you go, thank him. Thank God. Don't sit here and thank me. Says, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. So I don't know how that ultimately works out. Every single stake in the church is called a stake of Zion. And so when they say, well, there's going to be Zion, and you go, I think there will be an actual place called Zion. I think there's actually a center place. I think it is Jackson County in Missouri in the United States. But one of the matters of resources is having a bishop's storehouse. You come and you bring your surplus stuff, your surplus goods, anything, to the bishop's storehouse, and according to what people need, they are food and goods are doled out. Now, I give money. I think I'm reasonably generous. I'm not going to talk about how much I give, and you know that's between me and the Lord and the bishop, honestly. And that's kind of how that goes. What? Why are you hawking at me? Because I kick up too much dust for your needs? I don't have hours to go slowly down this road. I'm sorry, I'm still a working man. And I try to be generous. And that's a good thing too for those who express needs. The people on the side of the road, you know, the people on your medians. Like I said, I give them cans of Vienna sausage, oop, which I did not resupply. I need to do that more readily with other needs. There's a lot of younger guys who give more physical labor, help move people, and stuff like that. I used to that when I was younger. I've got kind of crabby about it because I see so many people that really don't need it. They have resources. If they're not willing to do it just themselves off the power that they have, you know, it's like, well, you should pay somebody else to do this for you. Oh, and, you know, people say that I'm really hard-hearted and nasty. And I said, well, can I be honest? I said, I think we're out questing for, I think we're tilting with windmills for service boredom. And I think it's because we haven't really given it much thought. We're just doing silly low-hanging fruit that most people don't even need help with. And I think I've lost, I don't know if I've lost friends, but I've certainly been taken out of leadership positions because of my stance on these things in the LDS Church. And that's fine. It gives me more time to do things like this. And the fact that I am gone an awful lot to begin with makes it even more tricky. So anyway, guy, it's a daylight morning and I'm here at the crash site, which is really weird. Usually by this time of the morning, I've already worked 3 hours creeping up on four. And but I'm not, because I'm feeling kind of crappy. And the biggest thing is, it isn't just, you know, back in the old days, it was, you know, it was considered a really good thing or a really noble thing to come and work anyway, even if you didn't feel very good. Now they've gotten really weird about, we don't want you around if you might be contagious. And you're like, oh, okay. And so when I sit and I think, and I really beat myself up a little bit to say, you know, I really should go in and work. I don't want to use up my sick time because I may really need it later for something more major. Now, I work for an organization, and a lot of organizations have started doing this. It's just paid time off now. It doesn't matter if you're sick or anything like that. You don't get sick leave. It's not tracked separately. It's just all the leave put together. If you're going to go on vacation, if you get sick, you might as well just toss out your vacation because it chewed up all of your all of your time that you were going to use on vacation. So anyway, I've only got a little bit of time banked up. I've used 10, and I think I've only got 18 hours left for anything. And I'm getting ready to go on a vacation. And it's like, guy, should I just take the vacation as leave without pay? I'm tempted to do that just because I don't want to be in arrears. Because you never know when some opportunity is going to come up and you want to jump to the next opportunity and you don't have to go through all the crap of not getting your pay or getting having to compensate your company for the days that you took that you actually owed them for. This is a company that also lets you go into negative territory. And it's really weird because they sit there and say, oh, we would never treat you badly. And you go, wait a minute. I said, this is treating you badly is letting people get a negative balance on their leave, on their time off, because, you know, that kind of means that they're kind of stuck with your company. If a good opportunity comes up, they're less likely to take it because they go, I still owe the company money. Now there's, if you've got money set aside, and I do, I can just pay them back and say, here's so much money. Thank you. Have a nice day. I really don't want to do that. See, and I'm coughing and having a good old time draining. And so I'm going to let you go now. This thing was all triggered by me feeling sick and saying, oh, what do you do? And, you know, and all the tragedies that go on and people scream at government. The government needs to help them. And usually the government solution is crappy. And it makes life worse. And you're going, oh my gosh, I really wish I would have found a different way to handle things. People who live in flood zones, people down that always get hit by storms, like in New Orleans. Lisa's family, a lot of my wife's family, lives in New Orleans still. And I don't think that's very wise, you know. And they're definitely the sorts that also buy into climate change and stuff like that. And you're going, well, global warming says the water's going to come up. The house that you spent so much money trying to buy and pay off and make nice, this is your, it's just going to get flooded and nobody's going to want your house. And they go, well, I have insurance and the government helps me rebuild and all that stuff. And you're going, and you live in a trailer for a while you're trying to rebuild your house, take out all the rotten drywall and put in new drywall. And you're going, good gravy, guys. Why do you live like this? And them living that way are really burdensome to everybody else, because who ends up paying for that? And you go, well, the taxpayer. Although, can I be honest, it's mostly the government churning out and saying that they're producing more money, quantitative easing, as it's called, which really just drives up everything. It inflates the price of everything. The dollars are more and worth less and less, and you need more and more of them in spite of that to get by. And you know, they go, well, I can't pay for the flood insurance in Louisiana, and so what happens? The government provides it very cheaply, and that's because it's subsidized by these weird mechanisms, higher taxes, inflation. It's really going to stop working soon. And so, God, don't turn to government. God, if there's anything you can do, stay away from the government. A big thing to say for somebody who, by and large, has taken jobs and does work for the government because it pays really well. You know, I usually work for the military or for the, or for some kind of quasi-secret entity doing computer work for them because they need lots of computers doing a lot of the stuff that they do. And there it is. Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and stop this. Thank you for listening to Cohen Monk Mormon. I'm getting better at the title now. I don't do a huge pause before it, trying to process the name. Let me leave you with the blessing of my fathers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you peace.